أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا صاحبي السجن أما أحدكما فيسقي ربه خمرا، وأما الآخر فيصلب فتأكل الطير من رأسه قضي الأمر الذي فيه تستفتيان. وقال للذي ظن أنه ناج منهما اذكرني عند ربك، فأنساه الشيطان ذكر ربه فلبث في السجن بضع سنين. وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخر يابسات، يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في رؤياي إن كنتم للرؤيا تعبرون. قالوا أضغاث أحلام وما نحن بتأويل الأحلام بعالمين. وقال الذي نجا منهما وادكر بعد أمة أنا أنبئكم بتأويله فأرسلون. We're going through the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, and today inshallah we're starting from ayah number 41. And the people that were here last week, they will remember that I mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is in prison, and two young men ask him the interpretation of their dreams. And he said to them that I will tell you the interpretation of the dream later on. But in the meantime, he started inviting them towards Islam and telling them that they should not be committing any shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he, prior to giving them the interpretation of the dream, he did that. And this is actually what every single person who is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, any person who is a true da'i towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, that he will first and foremost have in his mind that I need to guide this person and tell him what is right, what is wrong. And then the issue of the dream is a very secondary issue. Dreams, like I mentioned last week, it's not necessary that they all have a meaning at all times. So compared to indulging in shirk, compared to the eternal punishment of the hereafter, the issue of the dream was secondary, and that's why he put it on the back burner and started focusing on something which was more important. That was the fact that they should be indulging only in Tawheed and the singular worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After giving them the da'wah, he starts giving them the interpretation of the dream. And this is where we start from today, ayah number 41. He says, Ya sahibai sijn. He said, Oh my partners of the prison. And again, in very loving and endearing terms, he uses the word, Oh my companions of the prison. أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمَا فَيَسْقِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا. As for one of you two, he will give his master alcohol or wine to drink. So obviously this was the interpretation of the person who is squeezing grapes. He is interpreting the dream for him that you will be the one. He doesn't directly tell him that you will be the one, but he says one of you two will feed and give the master the wine to drink. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَيُسْلَبُ فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ. And the other one, he is going to be hung. Yuslab, salib, crucified, put on a cross, and the birds are going to peck at his brains. They're going to eat at his head. Meaning, his dead body, his corpse, is going to be hanging on the cross or hanging on a tree, and the birds are going to come and they're going to peck at his corpse, his dead flesh. And remember, this was the one who was carrying a basket of bread on his head, and the birds are coming and taking from that basket. This was what he saw in the dream. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. The thing that you were asking me about, the تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ, istifta means to seek a fatwa. And this word actually is derived from the word fata. Fata, which means young man. And a young man, he is at the peak of his youth and he is strong. So the same root letter, fa, ta, and wa, it is used to give what we call a religious ruling, fatwa. And fatwa is called fatwa because it strengthens the position of a person. You know, after going through the dalils, after going through the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah, the person gives a fatwa that is the strengthening of his position that then ultimately allows him to move forward with whatever decision he was given by a scholar or a mufti. So that's why a fatwa is called a fatwa. And istifta means to seek a fatwa. And these two men that came to the prison with Yusuf alayhi salam, they sought a fatwa, meaning they sought to strengthen their position and understanding of what they had seen in a dream. Now, what does Yusuf alayhi salam say? He says, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. That thing that you are asking me a fatwa about, that has now been decided. Now, according to, remember I said last week, that some mufassirin, they say that these two men, they never had a dream. They just made the dream up and asked Yusuf alayhi salam. After making the dream up, they said that, you know, this is our dream. And then now when they heard the interpretation of the dream, they said, okay, we just made that up. Okay, especially the one who is going to be hung and crucified and birds are going to peck at his head. He said, obviously he must be worried. He said, no, we made the dream up. So Yusuf alayhi salam said, no, it's too late. The thing that you asked me about, that has now been decided. Now this is an indication about certain hadith, the subject of which is mentioned in certain hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade people from telling other people the bad dreams. Because generally speaking, a bad dream, it could be from shaitan, it could have a message, but the Prophet ﷺ told people not to tell people about bad dreams. And not only that, he also said that even if a person has a good dream, then he should regard that as good and he should only tell those people that he loves, not everyone. Why? Because the person who does not like him, if he sees that he had a good dream, he might interpret it in a bad way. He might interpret it in a bad way. So say for example, a person has a dream that he is wandering around in Jannah and he sees the trees of Jannah all around him and the rivers of paradise around him and the ladies of Jannah with him, and he wakes up and he tells somebody and the person doesn't like him and he just interprets the dream and he says, it means you're going to die soon. So this is what people might do, right? If a person is just jealous of him, if he doesn't like him, so he might interpret it that way. So interpretation of a dream, it's a very dangerous thing to do. First of all, a person who's not qualified to interpret the dream, he should not interpret the dream. And it's narrated, I believe, of Imam Malik rahimahullah, who's approached by somebody who asked him the question that, is it permissible for a person to interpret dreams? And remember last week what I said, that the dream is one of the remnants of the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that used to come to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. It is a wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is from Allah. You know, remember I said that there are three kinds of dreams and one kind is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is truly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who dares to actually take it upon himself to interpret the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Imam Malik said that this is not something to be joked with. It's not something that a person should be joking with, and many, many scholars have said exactly the same thing. It's not something that a person should indulge in if he doesn't have the knowledge of the dreams. It's narrated about Imam Ibn Sinin rahimahullah. He is the one who wrote a very famous book which is attributed to Imam Ibn Sinin, but some scholars say that maybe he didn't even write this book, it's just a collection of sayings of his and it's attributed to him. But in any case, a person, he saw a dream, and he came and he told him the dream, and then he interpreted it one way, and then another person came and he told him exactly the same dream, and he interpreted it a completely different way. So when he was asked about this, he said that there are indications and signs that I see from the people that actually come to tell me to interpret the dreams. Different people, if they have a different dream, a same dream, it can have two different meanings completely. So it's an art. It's not something that a person should think that it should be taken lightly, that a person should interpret the dream. According to a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, first of all, a person should not lie about the dreams that he has. It's not permissible to do that. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ مِنْ أَفْرَى الْفِرَى أَنْ يُرِيَ عَيْنَيْهِ مَا لَمْ تَرَى. The Prophet ﷺ said that one of the biggest lies that a person can commit is to make his eyes see what they did not see. Meaning that he tells people that he had dreams and really he did not have that dream. So this is the biggest lie. Because why? Because it's a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I just mentioned, that because the dream is one of the remnants of the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore he is actually lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like a person who claims false prophethood, right? It's exactly like that. The person says, I get wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't get wahi. What is he? He's a false prophet. He is lying about his prophethood. Similarly, a person who is telling people false things about dreams, he is lying that he is getting this wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's false lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, الرؤية الصالحة من الله فإذا رأى أحدكم ما يحب فلا يحدث بها إلا من يحب. This is just what I mentioned, that the good dreams are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if any of you see something that he likes in his dream, then he should not inform those people except whom he loves. Okay, this is the hadith from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the final hadith that I'd like to mention, الرؤيا على رجل طائر ما لم تعذر. The dreams, they basically stay hanging on top of a person as long as that they're not interpreted. فإذا عبرت وقعت. Once the dreams are interpreted, then they come down on the person. And basically, however the dream is interpreted, then according to that, the actual reality occurs. The thing occurs according to how it's interpreted. So again, we should not interpret dreams. As an imam, I get so many emails and phone calls about dreams and so on. Some dreams are scary. And if somebody says this to you, you should basically tell him that, you know, this is probably from shaitan. I just give sadaqah as a precaution, nothing to worry about. This is how everyone should interpret the dreams. And specifically, when a person is mentioned in the hadith, that when a person sees a scary type of a dream, then he should wake up and on the left side of his bed, he should spit three times. Spit or make the action of spitting like this. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And if he wants to go back to sleep, he should turn around and go back to sleep. Because this is from the shaitan. This is when a person has a scary dream. And again, if somebody comes to you with a dream and asks you to interpret it, you should not interpret it. And if it's a good dream, you should say, inshallah, this is a good dream. And stop right there. Inshallah, this is a good dream. You saw Jannah in your dream. You saw the Prophet ﷺ in your dream. You saw Mecca in your dream. You saw Medina in your dream. That's a beautiful dream. Inshallah, some good will happen to you because of it. That's it. And that's where you draw the line. Don't go into the details about what and when and how and all of these things. This is not our position to be interpreting the dreams. There's another riwayah that I'd like to briefly mention. that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting, and a person, a sahabi, came to him and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I saw a beautiful dream. And in this dream, I saw," and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he's sitting by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that, "I saw in this dream that there was a cloud, and from this cloud, honey and butter is falling down from this cloud. And I see a lot of people, some of them are taking a lot of this honey and this butter, and some of them are taking a small amount of it." So this honey and butter is coming down from the sky, and some are taking a lot, some are taking a little bit. And then there's a rope from that cloud that comes down. "And Ya Rasulullah, I saw you in my dream, you climbed up this rope and you went up this rope, and then another man climbed up the rope behind you, and then another man climbed up the rope behind you, and then a third man, he tried to go up into this rope and the rope broke. But then the rope was rejoined for him, and then he ultimately did climb up using that same rope." So this was the dream of this person. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, allow me to interpret it." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Go ahead, interpret it." So then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "The cloud is Islam that covers everybody. And the honey and the butter that's coming down from the cloud, that is the Quran and the sweetness of the Quran that people, some people benefit a lot from, the ones that were taking a lot of it, and some people benefit a little from it. Those people that took a little from the honey and the butter, they benefited a small amount. And Ya Rasulullah, this rope is the Quran. This rope is the Quran that you, Ya Rasulullah, climb up. And through the climbing up on the Quran and implementing it, you are going into Jannah and you are reaching your destination. And then there are people after you, they are doing the same thing. The two men that come after you, they do the same thing. And, you know, the third person is, and again, Abu Bakr Siddiq is the one interpreting it. He said he's the person who tries to implement it, then he falls short, and then he finds his way again, and then he climbs up. So this is my interpretation. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that you got some of it right and some of it wrong. So then Abu Bakr Siddiq said, "Billahi alayk," he swore and implored to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ya Rasulullah, tell me what was right and what was wrong." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam simply told him, "La tuqsim," don't take an oath, meaning don't force me to give you the interpretation of this dream. So there are a lot of lessons we can learn from this. Firstly, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam allowed Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to interpret the dream, because obviously he's a trusted person and he's in the company of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so he could figure out a lot of things. But then at the same time, when he made a mistake on some of those things, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam refused to tell him. Refused to tell him, and he didn't want to tell him where he made a mistake. So it also, we understand from this that a person, if he doesn't want to interpret a dream, he has every right to refuse, as the Prophet ﷺ did. So these are the lessons we learn from that particular hadith. But the summary is that we should not take dreams so seriously that every single dream we think that it has a message. And I've come across such people like that, that they want every single interpretation of every single dream that they see. And you have to calm them down and tell them that, listen, not every dream has a message for you. Okay, it's just something that's in your mind. It could be from Shaytan, and it's quite possible there's a message, but not every single dream has a message. So some people are like that. So in any case, we continue with the tafsir. So وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا أُذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. So then Yusuf alayhi salam, he said to the person who he thought that he's going to be free, he's going to be saved وَاذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Remember me when you get to your master. So obviously he thinks, and the word ظَنَّ is used here. وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ. The word ظَنَّ, it means assumption and thought, and it's not 100% conviction. So from this we understand that dreams are ظَنِّي, they're not yaqeeni. ظَن and yaqeen, there are two different categories. ظَن is just a thought, a guess, educated guess you can say. So he thought that one of them is going to give wine to his master, he's going to serve the king. So the one that he thought, ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِنْهُمَا, he said, اُذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, remember me when you get to your master, when you get to the king. So according to some mufassirin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this from Yusuf alayhi salam. That why did Yusuf alayhi salam turn to this person, and why did he rely upon the king setting him free? When just a few ayahs before that, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled me and he gives me knowledge and I am in direct contact with him. He gives me this wahi, you know, he mentioned about the food that came to the people. So this was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like about that Yusuf alayhi salam did. And this is not something wrong that he did. It's not a sin that he committed. And there were instances that happened like this in the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a human, you know, he forgot to say inshallah at one time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him about that. The wahi stopped for a few days, and then ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't say anything that you're going to do tomorrow except you add to it inshallah. And then the story of Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is giving dawah to somebody, and he comes and says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ma'allimni mimma 'allamaka Allah, teach me that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught you. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam frowned because he's trying to give dawah to non-Muslims and he's already a Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that his frowning was not right. So there were instances where the prophets made human mistakes, not sins, but human mistakes. And this was an incident that Yusuf alayhi salam made a human mistake, and instead of relying totally upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whom he had this connection, he told the person that when you get to the king, just mention my name, please. Mention my name so that, you know, I'm pulled out of here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضَعَ سِنِينَ. Shaytan made him forget this person that got free. The shaytan made him forget remembering his master or reminding his master. So Yusuf alayhi salam stayed in the prison bid'a sinin. The word bid'a, it means from 3 to 9. 3 to 9 years Yusuf alayhi salam stayed in the prison. Most mufassirin, they have narrowed it down to 7 years. He stayed in the prison for 7 years. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضَعَ سِنِينَ. So he stayed in the prison for 7 years. The next stage, actually, it starts where a king, the king of the time, he sees a dream, and in that dream he sees some strange things happening, and he tells people to interpret the dream. And then the same person who Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted the dream for, at that time he remembers Yusuf alayhi salam, and he comes back to ask him the question. I did read those ayahs today, and inshallah, because the lesson has become a little bit lengthy, inshallah, we'll continue with that next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what is being said and heard. Well,